What's up, everybody? I'm Bob Walters. This is Locked Up Sports. Earthquake rocks the Northeast, but it can't shake away the Yankees' bats as they fall on opening day 3-0 to Toronto at home. The Mets with a big win yesterday. Alonso with a perhaps season-saving home run. The Knicks with a win last night, and we speak with Mark Mancini in the Mancini Report. All that and more coming up next. Locked Up Sports. What's up, everybody? I'm Bob Walters. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. And did you feel the earthquake? Did you feel it? Are you somebody who felt it this morning? Are you somebody who didn't feel it? Some people didn't feel it, which I can't believe. I felt it. I was sitting right in my living room, and it was pretty powerful, right? At the 4.8, I thought it was very powerful. The whole building was shaking. I knew immediately that it was an earthquake. I know what you're going to say, but I knew immediately. Never been in an earthquake. Everyone says there was one in 2011. I was somebody who didn't feel the 2011 one, apparently, because that was the first earthquake that I really felt. I remember being in school, maybe upstate in Plattsburgh. There was one where it was a little bit. This one was like, it was a real earthquake. You know, I was like, where's the doorway? I had to wake my wife up. My wife told me I should have been in the tub. And I had to tell her that, no, that's tornadoes that you get in the tub for. You get in the doorway for earthquakes. So if next earthquake, you know, when the big one hits, if my wife is missing, check the tub, because that's probably where she's going to be. We don't have time for mistakes like that during these natural disasters. But earthquake today, solar eclipse on Monday. My birthday is tomorrow. It's kind of like the Earth and the universe are celebrating my birthday all together. So everybody's okay. Listen, New York strong, right? New York, we will rebuild, as they say. Oh, there's another one right now. There's another earthquake right now. We are just having an aftershock right now. I can feel it. Look, you can see the camera moving. It's a pretty big one. Wow. All right. So there you go. On air aftershock. How about that? Doesn't get any more real than that. Oh, man. There we go. First aftershock. So there you go. We have an aftershock. We have an earthquake. We have an eclipse coming. You can't tell me the universe isn't dying here. So That's what a big day for the Yankees, right? Opening day, Yankees, is we're going to continue through here. That's an aftershock. We will probably have aftershocks straight through the show, but the show must go on. Locked Up Sports must go on. So the aftershock right there at, what time is it? Right at 6 o'clock, right at the top of the hour, the aftershock. So, and that was definitely an aftershock. I haven't looked there. It literally just happened as we were doing that. So we'll continue the show. As I said, Yankees opening day today. There's a lot going on today. You got the Yankees opening day. You got the Mets in Cincinnati. You got the women's Final Four. We have Mark Mancini coming up. We spoke to him earlier. That was before the first earthquake. Now we had the aftershock. So Mets are trailing 1-0. I don't know how the run was scored because I don't have Apple TV, which I just was informed of. I thought I had it. I'm going to have to order it, I guess, after the show. But 1-0 Reds as they move to the second inning. Yankees this afternoon. Listen, Stroman pitched well. He went six innings. He gave up. He had struck out six. He gave up no runs. The bullpen kind of faltered, but you can't blame the bullpen either, because I mean they give up the home run in the seventh and then the two in the ninth. But the Yankees bats did nothing all day. They were, you know, tied up in knots with the pitching from Toronto. And give Toronto credit. They came, they outpitched Stroman. It was a pitcher's duel through six. Really, up until the ninth, it was a pitcher's duel. It was 1-0 going to the ninth inning. And the Blue Jays got two runs to spoil opening day for the Yankees. Tomorrow, they're back at it. And like we said, the Mets trail 1-0. Yesterday, the Mets, man, was that a huge home run for Alonso. That is as big as it gets right there. They're down in the second game. In the ninth inning, after losing the first game, five straight losses, they were 0-5. And the first game, listen, I told you there was going to be nobody in the ballpark, and there was. There was nobody there. They'd be lucky. I'd be surprised if there was 5,000 people in the ballpark for either of the games or total throughout the day. And they got a decent pitching performance in the first game. They were up 3-0. They blew the lead. Again, Tonkin in the bullpen, and something's got to be done about that, because now it's two straight games that he's blown. His first two appearances, he's came in extra innings, and he's blown the game. He's responsible for two of the five losses. And they gave up the lead. Then it's three in the 10th inning. They have Batty, who bunts with a runner on second, the winning run on second, nobody out. Batty decide he gets the sign to bunt from the dugout. I'm not going to kill the Mets for bunting there. I would bunt them there. I am going to kill Batty because, listen, I don't care if they don't know. You can't just say that major leaguers don't know how to bunt. They don't know how to bunt. And I know it's the truth, but come on. It's a fundamental thing. It really is. It's not like a hard thing to grasp. Like, bunt. Get the ball down. And I know it's not easy, but it's something that is important. And it's something that really should be taught more, right? Because he didn't get the bunt down. He ended up striking out. Now, I would have, after strike one, and I would have seen that he can't bunt. Okay, now he can't bunt. We're going to have to swing the bat. He did have a hit earlier in the day. He kept the bunt on. He couldn't get it down. He ended up striking out. The Mets don't score. They strand the winning run at third. And then in the bottom of the inning, then in the top of the next inning, three runs are scored against them, and they lose 6-3 in the first game. And now you're five in a row. Now you lost five in a row. The ballpark is empty. It's rock bottom, right? You go eight innings or seven innings without a hit. Combined between the two games, between the end of the first game and the last and the second game, the Mets went 13 innings, a club record, without a hit. This team just can't hit. Now you're down 1-0. It's a 1-0 game, ninth inning. It looks hopeless. Alonso comes up and he golfs one over the deepest part of the fence, the deepest part of the field, to tie the game. The Mets then get a walk and a hit, and they win the game 2-1, and as big of a home run as you can have for Pete Alonso. And I don't want to hear that he doesn't hit in the clutch anymore or his home runs are meaningless, because that was as big as it gets. They needed that in the worst way. Broke the seal. It gave them a win. Now you're going on the road, and they probably feel good to get away, to be honest with you, just to get out of there. They were being suffocated at Citi Field because the whole thing's collapsing in on you, right? You got the first-time manager. He's yet to win a game. You've lost five in a row. You can't buy a hit. You got Lindor who can't hit the water if he jumps out of a boat this first week. Nimmo is getting on base a little bit with walks, but he's not hitting either. Alonso and Alvarez are carrying the team, but they're not really carrying the team because they've lost five in a row. And then you get that ninth inning and that kind of, you know, sigh of relief that the seal has been broken. We got to win. Now the monkey's off our back. Now they can just go play some baseball. And hopefully they can win some games here on this road trip. You know, you'd like to take two out of three from Cincinnati, who's a better, an improved team this year, but still not there yet. And then you got the Braves, which, you're kind of hoping to take one out of three against the Braves. So if you could get 3-3 on this road trip, you'd be happy, right? Get back home, then you settle in, you get a couple wins at home. But that was a big win yesterday for the Mets, and it could not have come at a bigger time. And Alonso, give him credit, because the ball was out of the strike zone. It was low. It was down below his knees. He went down. He got it. Almost no follow through, if you watch. And he hit it over the deepest part of the ball of the fence to the deepest part of the field and ties the game up right when they needed it the most. And, you know, it started to feel like, after the first game, it started to feel like this team's never going to win a game again, right? They're never going to win. How are they going to, you know, that's the 0-162 was on the table. Brett actually texted me saying, he asked me how many straight losses before they fire the manager. My answer to him was 20. Because, you know, they're not going to fire the manager right out of the gate before he gets a win. But 20 losses, then they'd fire him. So the Mets, like we said, they go to the bottom of the second. It is 1-0 Cincinnati. So now right out of the gate, you got Quintanilla giving up a run. And like I said, I don't know how it happened because I don't have Apple TV. I thought I did. I don't. So we spoke to Mark Mancini before the first earthquake. So let's get to that now. Mark, he's flying high. He's winning the bracket pool, locked up sports bracket pool. He's right on the cusp of getting the trophy. The Pirates have won 6 out of 7 right out of the gate. The Steelers have been signing people. He's on cloud nine here. So here's the Mancini report. We'll be back on the other side, and we'll talk about the women's Final Four, and we'll preview everything coming up this weekend. Enjoy the Mancini report, everybody. All right, so now we are joined by Mark Mancini, XM Radio, all types of podcasts. Mark, listen, I'd be in a much worse mood if the Mets would have lost that game. You are flying high today. We don't need to bash the Dodgers. Tell us about your Pirates. Welcome to the show.
Acknowledge me.
Hey, listen. I got, and before we start, you see behind me, you see the brackets behind me?
Yeah.
I want you to look at something right here. That is our pool, okay? The man at the top, I believe, is who?
Yeah, that's me.
That's you, okay? If UConn wins, you win the pool. The only way you could lose the pool is if Purdue wins. So if either of the other two teams win, and it's even if it's not UConn, you're the winner, Mark. So we got all kinds of good news for you today. The Pirates.
Well, things run in. Hey, let me tell you something. Things run in threes, and okay. What I mean by that, UConn will win. I'm guaranteed anything because I got unbeatable. Alabama. Well, that's the thing. Bama's hanging in there too, so one of those guys will get in the title game. But I need UConn to win it. The second thing, the Pirates are hotter than hell, man. 6 out of 7.
The Pirate mark. Your Pirates are 6-1. They're heading into a big weekend series at home against the Orioles. A battle of two of the best teams, right, in major leagues now.
Yeah. Yep.
How are they off to a 6-1 start? Take us through it, because a lot of people here don't watch the Pirates.
Well, let me tell you something. It's learning how to win. For the last few years, sometimes you got to lose to win. And what I mean by that, you got to take your lumps and bruises. And the Pirates have done that. They've steadfast this ship, even though a lot of people haven't been on it. And, you know, losing O'Neill Cruz early in the year last year, going through the peaks and valleys. This is going to be a special year. And I know they're only 7 games in, and people are saying, well, they beat the Miami Marlins and they beat the Washington Nationals. That's not beating anybody. But you know what, Bob? Consistency makes people believe. And if you stay consistent, this big weekend series with the Orioles, and let me tell you something, Pittsburgh owns the city of Baltimore, man. They beat them in the 70s and 71 and 79. So here we go. Bring the Orioles into Pittsburgh.
That's half a century ago. The guys who are on the Pirates and Orioles now were 20 years before they were born, the 70s were.
That's okay. I'm going to bring that tradition in here. It's going to be a big series, sold out today. Tickets are going for $190.
Is today the home opener?
Yeah, today is the home opener.
Well, Pittsburgh's a good sports town.
Yeah, it starts at 412. They take their area code, the 412. So, you know, I'm excited. And the third thing is, here come the Penguins, 5-0-2 in their last 7.
Yeah, but they're not. I haven't looked at the Penguins, but they're not in the playoff race, right?
Yeah, they're only 2 points out of it.
Oh, are they really? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. If that's the case, then here come the Penguins.
Tell you something. Wouldn't that be remarkable if we go against your blue shirts in the first round?
No, listen, that'd be nice. I wouldn't mind that, because we need it. You know where you lose the Stanley Cup when you win a first round series in like 6 or 7? We could sweep right through the Penguins and get a nice easy right onto the second round.
I don't know. I don't know if somebody wants. First of all, if you come in hot, nobody wants you. Second of all, that's a dangerous squad, even though they've been struggling of late. Do you want the Penguins in the first round if you win the President's Cup?
You're right. And historically, we haven't done well against the Penguins. We beat them in 7 games in overtime, of course, last time we played them. But that series killed us. When you take that first round or that second round series to 7 games like that and you get beat up for 2 weeks by the other team, it's tough moving on to the next round.
Yeah, that's the thing there. And that would be the biggest thing. But, man, the West is loaded, too. Look at the teams in the West, Vegas, Winnipeg, Vancouver. I mean, that whole conference is loaded. There's like 4 teams over there with 100 points.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun playoff. Listen, as bad as the Mets are now, I just kind of hope that the Rangers could give me something into the spring, because at this point, it looks like the Mets might be done by June, you know, the way they're playing. And that was a huge win. It was a huge home run by Alonso last night. We talked about that before. Now, I wanted to get to some NFL stuff with you. Bills trade Stephon Diggs to the Texans. The Texans went in 2 years from being the laughing stock to now they're loaded. They got a coach that everybody wants. They got a quarterback that everybody wants. Now they got a top receiver. What do you think about the trade?
Well, I don't know what's going on in Buffalo. I mean, they're great, you know, during the regular season. They fizzle in the playoffs. Diggs is going there, but I'm going to overshadow this thing because John Jefferson headed to Pittsburgh, man. What a target there.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Yeah, I mean, now the Steelers are loaded, man. We're loading up now. We got.
I don't know if I'd say loaded. I think they're always a playoff team, so it doesn't even matter. But they're better. You still got the Chiefs, though. You still got the Chiefs in the AFC for both the Texans and the
Steelers. Are you gonna give me the Chiefs? Come on, man. The Chiefs.
Oh yeah. You're right. The Chiefs stink, right?
You know what? Every year I hear about it. Okay, the Chiefs have won it. This past year was the first year where the Chiefs, I could say honestly, deserved it. They've bucked past some teams in the past to win Super Bowls and stuff, where they avoided the Bengals and the Bills and all that crap. I'm not sold on the Chiefs.
Do you think Mahomes is a top five quarterback of all time?
Top five quarterback of all time? No, I'm not giving it to him yet.
No, I think you're crazy.
Well,
he never plays a bad game, Mark. He never plays a bad game. He never does. He never plays a bad game.
Bob, the league has changed. Come on, man. You can't touch the quarterback. I'm taking Terry Bradshaw over Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, I can live with that.
I'm taking Tom Brady over Patrick Mahomes.
I can live with that.
Okay.
I'm putting him ahead of Montana.
I'm taking Troy Aikman over Patrick Mahomes.
No way. Okay, here we go. Here's where we stop and argue, because no way you're taking Troy Aikman over Patrick Mahomes. Okay. Troy Aikman was great. Troy Aikman had a great offensive line, a great running back, and a great receiver, an all-time receiver.
How about the guys that didn't win a Super Bowl? Would you take them over Patrick Mahomes? Dan Marino? I take over.
Who?
Dan Marino?
Okay, I could live with that answer. I could live with Marino.
Okay, how about Dan Fouts?
No way, Dan Fouts. No way. You can't give me Dan Fouts. No, I'll give you Marino. I'm not giving you Dan Fouts. You know it's not Dan Fouts either. I can tell by the dumb smile on your face. Dan Fouts is not better than Patrick Mahomes.
How about Joe Montana?
I think he's right there with Joe Montana. I think it's Montana and it's Holmes right now. And Holmes is gonna and Mahomes is gonna pass him. Because let's be real, Mahomes is gonna win another Super Bowl.
I don't know about that. There's no way Mahomes is catching Brady.
Okay, fair. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think Peyton Manning's better than Brady. You didn't even mention Peyton Manning, by the way. The fact that you said Dan Fouts before Peyton Manning, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm not a Peyton Manning guy. I know. You know,
it's crazy.
Fouts never won a ring, but he threw 4,000.
I'm not saying Dan Fouts was. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm saying he's not Patrick Mahomes or Peyton Manning.
Somebody put a gun to my head, Elway over Mahomes.
That's another one right there. Elway, Montana. Okay, you know we get. That's a good. These are good arguments. We could have this all day because we could go back and forth all day. But Elway's a good one. I didn't even think Elway. Now speaking of the Chiefs, what do you think about this car crash with Rashid Rice? And he's now admitted his role in it. He owned the two cars or something. They were drag racing, right?
Right. Well,
they're lucky they didn't kill everybody.
How many times have we heard this story?
A million times.
I mean, how many times have we heard this story? You can take the kid out of the city. You can't take the city out of the kid.
It's the same story, too, with a lot of them. It's Burris with the gun in the waistband shooting himself. It's the same story.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on. And why is this even a headline again? I mean, this is another idiot doing a stupid thing that's trying to explain himself. I don't need explanations. You should be realizing what you're doing before you get in the car to do the damn thing.
You're right. But they're also 23 years old. We all did stupid stuff. I did stuff I can't even speak about here at 23 years old.
Well, here's the thing. I got to argue that thing. When car insurance at 20-something, and I got to pay the premium because everybody in that jurisdiction or whatever is going 100 miles an hour. Hey, I'm not going 100 miles an hour. Why am I in that thing?
Yeah, no, you're right. Because his car hit you. Because his car hit your car.
Yeah,
that's why. Because his car might hit your car, and then the insurance company insures both of you, and then they got to pay out anyway. But yeah,
but if I'm using my brain, and I'm not going 100 miles an hour because I had an upbringing where I was taught all those things, and this idiot's going 115 miles an hour because he's watched the Fast and Furious six times, why am I paying the same premium as he? Because I'm the same age.
Yeah, listen, you're what? You're 31 years old. Tomorrow, Mark, wish me a happy birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Wow, it is. I should sing happy birthday to you right now.
How old do you think I'm going to be tomorrow?
29.
28. That would be 43. 43 tomorrow, Mark.
Wow.
I'm almost halfway home.
Hey, I'm 62 and I look damn good.
Damn good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Anybody, I tell these guys, any of these guys try to keep up with Mancini here, I said, look at this body.
You don't need a Lamborghini going 150 miles an hour to look good, Mark.
No, I don't. All I need is my arrogance cologne.
Do the Pirates take 2 out of 3 this weekend?
Yeah. After this weekend, they'll be 8-2, and then the Tigers come in. Hey, we got a 5-game homestand. The Orioles and Tigers.
The Tigers, Tigers played the Mets. Let's be real.
Well, and then listen,
you know what you
listen,
did? You know what the Tigers and the Pirates did? They beat up on the NL East.
Right. After this 5-game homestand, and I'll get the Pirates here after this show, we go right back to the East Coast and play Philly and New York, the Mets.
Oh, okay. So you know what? You set up for a good start then. All right.
Yeah.
Mark Mancini is his name. I'm going to put this up one more time. Mark needs anybody but Purdue to win the championship, and the trophy is his. Mark, thanks for coming on. We have a blast every weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I love you, brother. Have a blessed one. Happy birthday, my brother.
Thank you, my man.
How about that? How about that? Mark Mancini, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Always a great spot. I love Mark.
He's in good shape right now in a bracket pool. As long as Purdue doesn't win, if any of the three other teams win, and listen, Connecticut looks unbeatable, he will be the champion of the Locked Up Sports second annual bracket pool. Tonight, you got the women. Final four, the women. Let's be honest here. The women's tournament has been just as good, every bit as good as the men's. Every bit. You got the Caitlin Clark situation. You got her going off with these threes that she's shooting from, almost half court. She's great, great entertainment. You have everything with the LSU game. Now they play UConn. They're the second game tonight. The first game is NC State against South Carolina. South Carolina is the one seed. NC State, both the men and women in the Final Four. First time, obviously, for that school. And then you have a 3 seed in UConn against the 1 seed Iowa in the second game at 9:30. And all eyes are going to be on this. I mean, they got 12 million viewers. In the game the other night, the LSU-Iowa, 12 million. That was an all-time record. And tonight's going to rival that because the UConn-Iowa game is going to be just as big. So, the women taking center stage here. The last 2 years, the women's Final Four and the women's tournament has been every bit as good as the men's. And this men's tournament, there wasn't Cinderella's. It wasn't as, it wasn't as upset since that. But you do get good games. And I watch out. I told you that very early, I told you, watch out for NC State because that big kid, there's nobody in the tournament, in any school that could stop him. Now he's going up against Edie and Purdue, and that's going to be an interesting matchup. Can he beat him? Can Purdue finally get over the hump and get to the championship game? I think Purdue's probably the only team that can beat UConn, but NC State looks like they're just a team on a mission. So you really don't know. So it should be a good Final Four. We'll do more of that tomorrow as Brett is back tomorrow. We'll be doing the show probably in the afternoon with Brett and everything. The Knicks with a big win last night. The Knicks, that was a big win. They had lost 3 in a row. They kind of were falling out, right? They were falling. The 6 seed looked possible. A week and a half ago, it looked like the 2 seed was possible. Then they lost 3 in a row, and they went down, and then you're like, uh-oh, here we go. Now we might go into the 6. We have to play the 3. They got a win. They kind of steadied the ship last night. A big fourth quarter from Brunson. A big game from Josh Hart. You got to get the pieces back, though. You got to get Randle back. You got to get OG back. This team is not going anywhere without those two guys. And you don't want to get them back in game 2 either. Game 2 of the playoffs. You want to get them back this week. There's only 6 games left. So you want to finish strong. You want to get they're tied with the Magic. Magic percentage points ahead, tiebreaker, whatever it is. But they're tied with the Magic in the
The Magic have the tiebreaker, so they're in the fourth spot. The Knicks are in the fifth spot. And you don't want that either, because you don't want to have to play the first two games in Orlando. What if you drop two of them? Right? Now you come back home and the pressure's on. You're down 0-2. Season can be over with a loss. You don't want that. You want to have games one and games two at the Garden. Dispose of the Magic early. Beat them in five. Beat them. You know, you don't want to go 6 or 7. You start beating each other up in these early series. Then it kind of hinders you later, especially with the injuries they got. And you know, where's Randall? Where is it? What's taking so long? He didn't get the surgery. Like, why is it taking here so long for him to come back? I don't have an answer. I'm not a doctor, but come on. And OG, they made a big trade for this guy, and he's done nothing but been on the shelf the whole time. It's ridiculous. So the Knicks got to get them back. Otherwise, they don't stand a chance in the playoffs. They might squeeze their way through the first round, even like, you know, if they come back, but they're not going anywhere. They're not going to the conference finals without those two or anything like that. So we'll see how that goes. Tomorrow, Brett will be back. The return of Brett. We're going to do Final Four. We're going to go over the tournament. We're going to do Mets, Yankees. It's going to be everything. Stay tuned for that. A lot going on. Enjoy the basketball tonight. Mets are losing 1-0, second inning. Yankees lose opening day 3-0. We had an aftershock right here on the show. What else could you ask for, right? A full show. Thank you to Mark Mancini. As he, him and his Pirates, we'll see how they do. They got Baltimore this week. It's not going to be easy. So that does it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. I'm Bob Walters. See ya.
If you enjoy the show, make sure to let everyone know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or on our website at LockedUpSports.net. Remember, you can also find us on your favorite social media site, on Twitter at LockedUpSports, on the gram at Locked_Up_Sports. Join our Facebook group, Locked Up Sports, or on TikTok at Locked Up Sports Show. Now you can catch all the latest from Locked Up Sports anytime. Thanks for listening.